This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Welcome. We thank you so much for logging in again and playing or downloading this segment this day. We thank God for you. We appreciate you. We are so grateful unto God for what He has done and what He is doing and what He is going to do. I just praise Him today, and I thank Him, Lord God, that our situation and our circumstances are not predicated upon His goodness, and that what we feel and what we may be going through, hallelujah, has no bearing, you all, on the goodness and faithfulness and holiness and righteousness of God, if indeed that you are, we are His children, amen. For indeed, He cares for us more than we could ever know, and I thank God for that. And we are just grateful for another opportunity to come into your presence. We pray that these segments and this effort has indeed been a blessing unto you. Pray indeed that if you're truly hungering and thirsting for the Word of God, that you are being fed and you are being blessed by that which the Lord is expounding in the scriptures through His servant. And we thank God for the privilege and the honor and the blessing to be able to come to you on this wise. Hallelujah. For truly this is by obedience unto God that we are here, and our desire to see that souls are not only saved, but that souls are men and women and children are made disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, the soul winning part is one aspect of it, but the discipling part, the mentoring, the teaching, and the equipping of the saints is an ongoing work that takes patience, it takes determination, it takes diligence. Because indeed we are living in the times that the Apostle Paul prophesied unto Timothy, that we're in the age, you all, where Paul said that they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Always, in other words, always running to and fro, running to something new and novel. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to nevertheless move on into this segment today. We want to take up from where we were in our observations in the Gospel of St. John. And we were moving in this segment, continuing with the thesis we offered to you entitled The Manifestation, talking about Jesus Christ. The theme of John being the deity of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the central theme of the whole Bible is Christ Jesus. Amen. And specifically in the Gospel of John, how the Holy Spirit used John to minister to us, to teach us, to reveal to us, if you will, concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the matter of His deity. Amen. His place in the Godhead, God the Son. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we want to just look further today and into this word. Last time we stopped off at John 3:8. And today, if you will, we'll pick up at John 3:9. And if you recall, this chapter, we witness Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, and how that Nicodemus was blessed, hallelujah, to have an audience with the Lord. And you know, I was thinking the other day, y'all, how that Nicodemus is one of the few people in the Word, and it's not that it is impossible with the Lord. I mean, there's certainly nothing unique, but it's a blessing. I think Nicodemus was so blessed. I don't know if he realized it or not, how that he had this one-on-one audience with Nicodemus, and obviously the for us to know of it, hallelujah, the apostles, the disciples, must have been also in the company, amen. For seldom, the only time we really find that Jesus set himself apart from everybody is when he set himself aside and went off to go and pray unto the Father, hallelujah. The principle there be our secret place, our secret closet, if you will, to go before the Father. Hallelujah. But in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art you a teacher of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we do know and testify to that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. I just like to just drop off right here and just want to hone in on two key words here. Number one being the matter of testifying and the matter of testimony. Hallelujah. Our testimony of the Lord is so critical, y'all. And then secondly, our witness. Amen. Our witness, amen, of the things that the Lord have blessed us to know and to understand, and also our witness concerning what the Lord have done for us and has and is doing, and then the hope that we have of what he's going to do. Amen. And that, you know, you remember Peter said that we should always be ready to give a reason, hallelujah, for the hope, hallelujah, that is within us. Yeah. And so may I offer that in light of this, we ought always order our conversation aright. We ought always, through our conduct and our character and our conversation, reflect a life that is governed by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Charles Stanley was the first man of God that I heard use those exact words, and they just seemed to stick in my soul and in my spirit, man. And from that, from those few words, y'all, I set myself to do just that. To that my conduct and my character and my conversation would reflect a life that is governed by Jesus Christ. Because if we do that, hallelujah, if we do that, eventually, someday, some way, somehow, someone will ask for the reason of the hope that is within you. Why? Because our lifestyle, because our conduct, is because our conversation, amen, is always reflects and always makes statements of hope, statements of faith, statements of a life that is dependent on and a life that is trusting in, and in a life that is believing and hoping in our Lord and our God. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is saying, is we speak that which we do know. And y'all, you know, you hear all kinds of things, and things are going on today. People are saying all kinds of things, and I just heard somebody today say, we just ought to give our testimony. We just ought to read what the Bible read. And while the brother was saying all that, he turned around and did exactly what he always do, and that is go off and do what preachers do, is go off and offer exposition and offer observation and interpretation of that which the word says. And y'all, we can't help but do that because the word is alive, and this word is truth. And as we are sent by God and called by God to minister these truths, amen. And here I offer to y'all is this same principle. You got to know something. Look at what our Lord is saying there in verse 11. We speak that which we do know. We ought to know something, y'all. And that is that the whole heart of this effort in these segments and in these podcasts and then in our observations and in our study as we dig into the truths of the Word of God is that we may walk away knowing something. Y'all, it's not always about how that this and that and how the Word of God. All I hear nowadays, and I hate to get on my soapbox and start whining and complaining, but, and I'll just simply say, y'all, it's not always about how that this can make me better. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is not interested in making us better. He's interested in replacing us. Hallelujah. He's interested when the Bible talks about us being new creatures, new creations. It's serious. It's not just a figure of speech. That's not just something to say. The whole idea of this whole thing is to equip the saints of God that we may all come into the fullness, hallelujah, and in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me help you with that. Over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, at the 11th verse, the Bible says, Ephesians 4:12. Is that in 4:11? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then he tells why. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now, that is the target. That is the charge. That is the commandment. That is the purpose of the fivefold ministry there you find in that 11th verse. That is a charge that every preacher, every minister, amen, regardless of what your specific gift and place may be in this fivefold ministry here, that is that these gifts that Christ gave to the church for this specific cause, the end result, hallelujah, is that which, like Paul said over in Colossians, is that we may warn every man, hallelujah, that we may, in Colossians 1:28, is that warning every man and teach every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let me just jump on off a little more since maybe I have your attention here. And let's just examine for a minute, if you will, this matter of perfection. And I believe we covered this before, but it's always good to do it again. I offer to you, and I hold to the thesis here that Dr. Schofield in his notes here in my Bible offered is that there are three stages of perfection are revealed. And we talked about before how that in the English language and how that is proper to have the right context of words as we looked at them, and how all of these things are so critical. Amen. We got to search the Word of God. We must look into, we have to dig into this treasure that is the Word of God. Amen. Do you think by just sitting and reading some words on the page without praying and without the Holy Spirit teaching you and without all of these mighty miracles happening, every time you sit down and read the Bible, y'all, there's miracles that are possible to happen. This word ought to come alive and jump off in your spirit, man, and quicken into you. Amen. A little more knowledge, a little more wisdom, and a little more understanding concerning these great treasures of truth that are in the Word of God. If you just sit down and read the Bible cavalierly like you do the Sunday newspaper, you're going to walk away with about as much as you got. You may get a little something, but you are not getting the truth. Something might hit you upside the head, but it's not going to be that which tends to lead you to perfection. Amen. First of all, there's positional perfection, already possessed by every believer in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 10 and 14. And then secondly, there's relative perfection, i.e. spiritual maturity. And that is at the heart of this text, Philippians 3:15, especially in such aspects as the will of God, as of love, as of holiness, as of patience, and every good work. Maturity is achieved progressively, as in 2 Corinthians 7:1, perfecting holiness, and Galatians 3:3, literally, are you now being made perfect, and is accomplished through gifts of ministry bestowed for the perfecting of, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the perfecting of the saints. Ephesians 4:12, we just read it, y'all. Amen. And then thirdly, there is ultimate perfection. In essence, perfection in soul, spirit, and body, spirit, soul, and body, which Paul denies he has attained, Philippians 3:12, but which will be realized at the time of the resurrection of the dead, Philippians 3:11. For the Christian, nothing short of the moral perfection of God is always absolute standard of conduct. But Scripture recognizes that Christians do not attain sinless perfection in this life. Compared with 1 Peter 1:15-16 and 1 John 1:8-10. Amen. And so if we would hold that context, if we would come to know and to understand this matter of being perfect and perfection, and if we look at it in those contexts, then it sort of lifts, it will comfort you to know that, hallelujah, that here's the essence of it, is that while sinless perfection may be constant sinless perfection may be something we strive for and may be unattainable in this life, maybe, you still, hallelujah, there's still a matter of, we are all charged and we're all able to, that are born again and are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And are commanded of God to be holy as he is holy. We can stand before God every day. We can stand before him blameless. Amen. That is without any unconfessed sin. That is because we have 1 John 1:9 that promises us that we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so John also goes on to say that he that is born again does not commit sin. In other words, he that is born again does not practice sin continually. And so these things, that ought not be in the life of a Christian. It ought bug you to no end, whatever it is, if you are finding yourself in a habit or in doing something, a lifestyle that is contrary to the will of God, and you have professed Christ as Lord and Savior and received him as Lord and Savior of your life, amen, you ought not be doing that thing very long. Amen. You won't be doing that thing very long. I mean, that for those of you that are out there and you may be caught up into something right now, and you have professed faith in Christ Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior. Listen, God can deliver you. God will deliver you. God is able to deliver you if you will cry out to him, if you will cast that thing before his feet, and if you will leave it there, if you will confess your sins before God, if you will cry out, amen, unto the elders, amen, that love the Lord and are faithful men and women of God, that you have come to know the Lord, have set in your path, that you can trust, amen, and you can go to them, amen, and they can pray with you and pray for you and work with you as you work out of that salvation that is in you. This thing, it is not an impossible. It can be done. God expects it to be done. Don't allow yourself to wallow in sin. You are not allow yourself to wallow in sin at all. We all do dumb things, and we all fall, come short of the glory of God, and we all may veer to the left and to the right, and we all may sin, and we all may fall into sin from time to other, but don't wallow in it. Raise up as that prodigal son did. Come to yourself today and raise up out of that sin and run unto the Lord and confess your sin before him, because he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll do it today if you will ask him, if you'll go before him. He is able and he is willing. Hallelujah. 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 Well, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wanted that said today for some reason, for somebody. And I pray that you be obedient to him in that matter, and that you obey him to be found pleasing in his sight, and to do that which is right according to his sight, that you may be blameless before him, that you can walk blameless before him. And believe me, just the peace and the comfort that comes from that is worth way more than any pain or any discomfort or any ridicule or anything you can lose or experience, and whatever it is that you may be hung up in, that whatever sin it is that you may be committing, amen, continually. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. Flee from it. Hallelujah. And run unto Jesus. Be converted. Amen. Change your direction. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus says in John 3:11, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we do know. Amen. We need to know some things and testify to that which we have seen. We ought to see God moving in our life. We ought to see some things. Amen. If you hang with Jesus long enough, you're going to see some things. And you know what the thing you're going to see? Well, I guarantee you, if you don't see, you may not see lightning fall from, you may not have the Damascus Road experience and all of that good and great stuff. You know, you may not experience all of that great and dramatic. Amen. Miracles, but you know what? What you gonna see, what you will see is your life change. You may not see nothing change around you, but the change will be in you if you will hang with Jesus, if you will cling to him, if you will trust in him, if you will hold on to him. That what the testimony you will have is what he's done in your life, and that's enough, you all. That's enough. And then Jesus went and said, and you receive not our witness. He said, Nicodemus, you still don't receive our witness. Amen. Of all the things you've seen, all the miracles and all the things that, and all of the doctrine that Jesus taught and all the miracles that Jesus did, Jesus turned to Nicodemus and said, you still don't receive our witness. Verse 12, he said, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus broke this thing down to him from an earthly perspective, y'all. And you know, that's what you got to do with the natural carnal man. You have to break it down to him in a natural carnal kind of way, because then the natural carnal man does not understand things that are spiritual. And so in our witness and our testimony, we're going to have to ask for the wisdom of God and ask for the compassion of God and the the love of God. That's the tools you got to have to be a witness, y'all. It's not enough to just have some Bible knowledge. It's not enough to just have to know some scripture and to know some doctrine. That's the trouble that's happened in a lot of denominations, and specifically one of the major ones in the nation today on the Baptist side, is they have dynamic witness programs and evangelism programs. But the reason why they fail, y'all, is because they have a zeal of God, but without the knowledge of his love. They have a knowledge of doctrine. They have a knowledge of Bible, and they have a knowledge of theology and all that good stuff. And that's all good, and it all has its place. But what they're missing, they do not have the compassion that Jesus has for souls. They do not have the love that Jesus has for souls. And y'all, if we're going to be an effective witness, it takes time. It's not a matter of just going knocking on doors and beating on doors and running through the mall and taking and dropping tracks and all of this mechanical means of witness. It's all good if that's what you feel like you need to do. But let me tell you, the commandment is as you go. And if you go, amen, in love, and if you go and order your conversation aright, if you go and let your light shine, if you go and let and be salt, amen, where it is bland and it is savorless, and you add salt to that conversation by gracing it with to the glory of God and for his glory. And if you will order your conversation aright, if you will conduct your life right and let your conduct and your character and your conversation, as we said a minute ago, reflect that life that is governed by Jesus Christ. And if you do it in love, not in pride and braggadociously and looking down your nose at people, but do it in the compassion that the Lord has, then you got something. You have a witness. Amen. And if as a last resort, you might have to say something, then you will have an opportunity, hallelujah, to witness the goodness of God in your life. Testify of the great things that he has done in your life and how he has blessed you and all that pertains unto you. And then then befriend them. And then as you move along, you will earn their respect and you will earn the credibility that at that point you can start opening the word of God unto them. And if you don't, if you may not feel comfortable in that, you should have a church home with a pastor that is teaching and preaching the word of God and is breaking the bread of life. And if you can do nothing more, y'all, you can say, come and see. Come and see, hallelujah. Come and see a people who worship God. Come and see the man of God who ministers the bread of life, amen, of Jesus Christ. And then hallelujah, amen. You keep doing that, amen. And you're gonna see some things. You're gonna realize some. There's gonna be some things happen, amen, hallelujah. You're gonna experience joy unspeakable and full of glory, amen, because you're going to cause the face of God to smile upon you, hallelujah, amen, because God's heart beats for soul. God's heart beats for souls, hallelujah, amen. And so Jesus, you see, if you notice, that's at the whole heart of this conversation, y'all. The whole heart of this conversation, Jesus and Nicodemus, is that Jesus took the time to speak these things to Nicodemus. He took time to minister to Nicodemus and to share with him these great doctrines, these great teachings, amen, concerning the kingdom of God and concerning him, who he is, amen. And so Jesus turns a corner with him again. And in verse 13, it says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Amen. Jesus is trying to turn Nicodemus from his earthly, natural, carnal, earthly, sensual mindset. even though he was a religious man and a man of God, at the best he could be, like I've been telling you, the best he can be, the most he's ever going to be until he becomes born again, hallelujah, is carnal in the best sense of the word. And so Jesus began to turn and began to prophesy. He began to fulfill the scriptures in the ears of Nicodemus. He took and turned to Nicodemus and communicated to him from the holy scriptures that which Nicodemus ought to be able to relate to, being a religious man and being a Pharisee. Amen. And so Jesus came and went to this text, amen, and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus went, Jesus took it. Amen. Jesus said, look, if I be lifted up, if we lift Jesus up, in our conversation, if we lift Jesus up in our conduct, if we lift Jesus up in our character, if we lift Jesus up in every area of our life, if we lift Jesus up and reflect the life that is governed by him, if we lift them up, hallelujah, hallelujah, then hallelujah, he will draw, hallelujah, men unto him. Amen. If we will lift him up, hallelujah, because for verse 16, probably the most popular verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. And if you have if you have tuned in to some of our other podcasts where we talked about knowing your enemy, the world here, we talked about knowing your enemy, the world here is not the world that we reference in that particular segment. The idea of the world here is the world that God created and made, the mass of humanity that God created and made. So God so loved the mass of humanity that he took responsibility of, that he created and made in his image and likeness. God so loved the world. He loved the earth. He loved the world. He loved everything in it. Amen. Because he is the one who initiated it. Amen. He is the one who created it. He is the one who generated it. Amen. Amen. He has an investment in it. Amen. He started it. And I love God because God is faithful in that whatever he starts, he will finish. Hallelujah. He will finish. Amen. And so God so loved the world that he created and made and all of the mass of humanity that's in it, that he, hallelujah, created and made in his image and likeness. Amen. And that even though man turned from him and turned his back from him, and disobeyed him and fell and died as a result of it, and that he was separated from God, a holy God who cannot look upon sin, God whom is a consuming fire, God who is holy, 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 holy in that all that is unholy, all that is corrupt, all that is not holy cannot stand in his presence. Amen. This God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing that he had. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him when he is lifted up, hallelujah, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, when Jesus was lifted up on Calvary, hallelujah, and shed his blood for the redemption of our sin. In other words, to buy us out of the marketplace of sin, in whom we were held in captivity, held in bondage to Satan. Amen. Jesus, amen, bought us. He redeemed us out of the marketplace of sin. Amen. All that will believe in him, believe today, you all, believe in him, that you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Because you have to exist somewhere. You are an eternal being, and your soul will have to exist somewhere. It will, and God has made a way that it can exist. It can not only exist, but it can thrive, and it can have a abundant life. It can live, hallelujah, eternally, everlasting with Him. Amen. Amen. And you can have that, because God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should reconsider their ways, that all should consider their ways and change your mind about who you are and about the state you're in, because the state that we are all in apart from God is in the state of destruction and in a state of death and in a state of eternal separation from God, in a state of sin, hallelujah, before God. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, y'all. Is condemned already. Amen. 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 Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this matter of believing, y'all, is not some intellectual assent to just, oh yeah, I believe, oh yeah, yeah, it's over there, yeah, yeah, I believe. Like Israel did when they were at the mountain and God began to speak, hallelujah, and Israel said, oh yeah, Moses, you go deal with God, and whatever he tell you to do, we'll do it. Yeah, you can't approach God flippant like that. This is not the flippant kind of belief, like, oh yeah, yeah, I believe there's a God. And then you turn and walk and go back to your own vomit. Amen. And you go and wallow in your own sin. No, 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 no. It's not about that. We all come to Jesus as we are. But here's the issue. We just can't stay that way, y'all. Hallelujah. We have to, amen, receive. You have to put off, amen, the old man. You have to put off your garments of corruption and your garments of sin and your garments of death and your garments of foolishness and riotous living and your garments of that tend to death and all of the corruption and all of the mortal deeds of the flesh, amen. And you have to put on Christ. You have to put him on. You have to wear him day and night. You have to put him on as a garment of linen, a garment of righteousness, hallelujah, white linen of righteousness, amen. Because if you go the way you are, you already in condemnation, amen. If all of us continue in the state we're in, amen, we all enter into the world in the state of condemnation. Amen. That's what David was saying when he was saying, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Amen. Is that we are born into this condemnation when we come into the world. And it's only the grace of God, amen, that will not impute sin unto a soul that does not understand, that does not, amen, have a knowledge of sin. Amen. A knowledge of their wickedness and wretchedness before God. Amen. And up to that point, we're in, but once we reach an age of accountability, well, we will raise our head and say, I will. Amen. When you can look at your mama and daddy and say, I hear what you're saying, but I will do what I want to do. Amen. You have just stepped into the age of accountability. Amen. That you know, that you know, that you know that you are disobedient. Amen. And that, amen, you have crossed cross that line unto sin. At that point, your wickedness, your sin, your unrighteousness is imputed unto you, and you have to give an account before God. But God does not impute one that is in a stage of innocency, amen, unto him. And that's why God does not judge infants and even those that are severely retarded, that are not capable and able to know and to understand this situation of condemnation in their life. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus goes on in verse 19 and says, and this is the condemnation. Listen, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And y'all, Jesus is that light. He is the light that is spoken of here. We read that over in John, the first chapter there. That light is come into the world. It's not talking about the light of illumination of knowledge and of man's wisdom and of man's doctrine and tradition of men, but the light of the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of the light that is coming to the world, that came, dwelt among men and was made flesh. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Like a bunch of cockroaches, when the light of the knowledge of the truth of the Son of God was manifest in the world, when truth was manifest in the world, and Jesus Christ is truth incarnate, and when truth stepped into the world, because men fled and ran like cockroaches when you turn on a light in your kitchen, amen, and you see them boogers run for cover, because light, amen, is coming to, has come into the room. Amen. And so do men, because men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Amen. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Are you getting that? For everyone that does evil hate the light, neither come to the light. Less. Why? Less. Because they're liable to have their deeds, amen, be reproved. Amen. Hallelujah. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought, that they are shaped, amen, that they are made manifest. Hallelujah. In God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord God.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you.